Item number eight, please.
Item number eight, from the Fiscal and Budget Administrator, Department of Administrative Services, submitting a memorandum of understanding with the City of Milwaukee Police Department to provide proactive park patrol in county parks located within the City of Milwaukee and direct response to cellular 911 calls placed within city limits. This item has also been referred to the Committee on Finance, Personnel, and Audit.
Very good. We are joined by
good morning.
People that I don't know. So please introduce yourself, and we'll go from there.
Good morning. Craig Hamholz, Budget Director, DAS Fiscal. Thank you for having us this morning. With me today is Josh Fudge, also from DAS Fiscal, our budget analyst for the Sheriff's Office, as well as Captain Gary Gasek from the Milwaukee Police Department. He handles the E911. Earlier, we had Captain Aaron Rapp, who is here to present on the deployment portion of the Lakefront and Park Patrol. He had another engagement he had to be to go to, so he was not able to stay here. But Captain Gary Gasek could potentially answer some of the questions you may have with respect to those two parts of the agreement. We would like to present to you today the MOU between the City and County of Milwaukee for Protective Services. Josh is going to provide an overview on the fiscal aspects, and Captain Gary Gasek can provide some overview on the operational aspects of the agreement. I'd like to state that this agreement is the culmination of months of work between the City and County of Milwaukee. We initially started discussions with the City of Milwaukee on areas of collaboration and cooperation between the two units of government that covered all aspects of government services, not just protective services. After fleshing out several options, one of the areas that we determined would be beneficial would be this shared services agreement that is before you today regarding the lakefront, the inland park, as well as the telecommunications related to E911. The MOU, as you know, is an agreement that saves taxpayers $1.7 million and not only preserves service, but in many instances enhances service as well. So with that, I'll turn it over to Josh Fudge for a brief overview of the three components and then also to Gary Gasek.
Thank you. Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. As Craig mentioned, Josh Fudge, DAS Fiscal. I wanted to start first with the Park Patrol section of the Memorandum of Understanding. As was discussed at the budget hearing for the sheriff a week ago, during the preparation of the 2013 recommended budget, we undertook an analysis of the staffing within the sheriff's office and wanted to determine how time was being spent within the office and examine the resources. What became clear in that examination was that the time provided by the county to staff the Park Patrol and Tactical Enforcement Unit was not being spent. As you may remember, last year there was an amendment to the recommended budget to provide about $1.6 million in tax levy for this particular service. Based on this analysis, as we began having discussions with the City of Milwaukee on possible ideas for shared services, this was an area that made itself pretty clear. The City of Milwaukee offered to provide the service within the parks within its borders to create a dedicated unit for both the lakefront and the inland parks, and the negotiations resulted in a total cost for those services of about $1.2 million. The total savings then from the cost to continue or what the Sheriff's Office would have required in their request was about $1.6 million, as you see in the budget narrative. That includes about, I believe, $100,000 worth of fringe benefit savings. So the net tax levy savings from that particular item is about $1.5 million. On the E911, as you may remember, some of you may remember, late 2010, the Office of the Sheriff presented a report where they had entered into a memorandum of understanding with the City of Milwaukee to transfer responsibility for cellular 911 phone calls. Originally, as described by the Office of the Sheriff in the 2012 budget process, the City of Milwaukee had agreed to take on these calls essentially at no cost to the county. In the course of the negotiations this summer, MPD made it clear that they felt the data provided when they entered into this memorandum of understanding on the workload that they would expect was inaccurate, and that they were experiencing significant cost overruns as far as overtime in their communications division. So these two areas naturally sort of presented themselves as an option. The proposal you see before you would provide about $463,000 to the city of Milwaukee to take on the cellular 911 phone calls. This amount was derived basically by making staffing reductions in the sheriff's communications division based on the loss of workload that this transfer represents. About 50 to 75% of their cellular calls will be transferred to the city of Milwaukee as a result. During the budget process, I met with staff from the office of the sheriff and basically ensured that the remaining positions would be sufficient to provide the remaining service, which includes cellular 911 calls in suburban municipalities and dispatch of sheriff's officers. Two other items that also came up during this process is the possibility that this arrangement, by not providing financial compensation to the city of Milwaukee, could result in a negative tax levy reduction from the available cap due to state statute. The state statute requires if you transfer a service between two governments and you do not maintain financial responsibility, you must reduce the room under your tax levy cap by that same amount. That's state statute 66.0603, I believe. One other item is the fact that in the 2012 budget, there was about $200,000 in cost reductions related to this initiative. The city of Milwaukee made it clear, as I mentioned during the negotiations, that they would turn back the E911 service if they weren't compensated based on the unexpectedly high workload. To put back the staffing required would require both some of the positions eliminated in 2012 in addition to the positions proposed in 2013, and that totals about $600,000. Therefore, one of the arguments that has been made on this proposal is that it funds the vast majority of the funding, if you look at the whole initiative, goes to the city of Milwaukee. In examining this proposal, if we were to undo this arrangement, we would have a $600,000 levy cost, the vast majority of which would be spent on calls in the city of Milwaukee. With this arrangement, we are spending $460,000 to service calls within the city of Milwaukee. There's also been brought up the idea of the PSAP issue. The city of Bayside proactively decided to service its own cellular 911 calls because it has a fairly light workload. The county board in 2005 made the decision to become the primary PSAP for the county. The city of Milwaukee could, in theory, proactively decide that it wanted all of its own cellular 911 calls the same way that Bayside did. However, because the workload is so much larger than anticipated, they don't have the financial capacity to do so without this arrangement. So that is basically the summary of the entire arrangement. If you have any questions on the finances, I'll be happy to answer them. And if you have any specific questions on the service, Captain Gasek will be able to respond.
Well, Captain Gasek, welcome. And please share with us anything you'd like. I know we'll have some questions, but welcome.
Certainly. Thank you, Mr. Chair and committee members. I'm the captain assigned to the 911 center, the city's 911 center. When we started taking wireless 911 calls in April of last year, we started to phase that in, and there was a pending MOU where we would phase all of the major carriers. We ended up phasing in over the course of several weeks for the major carriers, and we discovered that the number of calls that we were receiving was far outpacing the number that was reported to us by the sheriff's office, which then triggered the MOU was not executed, and we held off on adding two carriers, AT&T and U.S. Cellular. Those are two major carriers that have a significant market share in the community. So for the last year and a half, we've been taking the wireless 911 calls, and there has been costs associated with taking those calls. Some might say, well, if the sheriff's office took those calls initially and transferred them over to us anyway, it's the same workload. However, a natural occurrence to taking wireless calls are the abandoned calls, the pocket dials, the phantom calls. Those calls require a callback or an outgoing call. We're on pace in 2012 to have roughly 105,000 abandoned calls that are going to require a callback, which means that we have to make a significant number of outgoing calls that we previously didn't have to do. And so because our call takers are making outgoing calls, the one thing they can't do is accept incoming calls, but yet the 911 calls are still coming in, which means we have to bias our staffing towards 911 calls. Mm-hmm. Last year was the first year that our 911 calls outpaced our administrative calls, and that's going to be the case in 2012 and 2013 going forward. So with that comes cost. We had to backfill on overtime because we can't necessarily take people from administrative calls, put them on 911 calls, and then allow people to have such a long wait time if they have a non-emergency, because those folks will likely end up using 911 when they don't have to. So there has been a cost. We're willing to take the additional two carriers. It makes sense as far as public service to the community. It's just that we don't have the capacity to do so based on staffing.
Okay. Supervisor Schmidt and then Supervisor Harris.
I guess we're just on the cellular first. So the two new companies, you didn't have a contract before. Could you explain that a little bit better to me? It's U.S. Cellular and AT&T. You didn't have a contract then before, and so that's where the cost differential is now, where it wasn't before?
First of all, I just want to clarify, there is no contract whatsoever for carrying any of the carriers. Right now, MPD has four out of the six, and the proposal is to take the remaining two of the six and transfer those over as well. But there is no contract for MPD to do that presently.
Well, but the point is, you're adding two new cellular, and that's the reason you didn't have that in your budget to take those kind of calls before. Is that what you're telling us?
I'm saying that we didn't have the capacity, the staffing, to take the original four, which would be Cricket, T-Mobile, Verizon, and Sprint. So because of the increase in the number of calls, we would have had to add staffing just based on those four carriers. We added staffing by backfilling positions on overtime, so we're hemorrhaging a little bit in overtime cost. If we end up taking on AT&T and U.S. Cellular, in addition to what we're doing now, we'd incur additional overtime expenditures, and the long-term strategy is not overtime, because I can't continue to have 911 operators working 12 or 16-hour shifts. They're going to get burned out, and there's going to be the ability for them to perform their service is going to be compromised. So we need to hire additional bodies to take on the workload that we acquired when we took on the four carriers. Taking on the additional two carriers is obviously going to add to that workload, but I'm confident that based on the arrangement between the county and the police department, that the amount of money that would be transferred would be enough to hire additional staff that we would be able to take on those last two carriers.
Okay, I would say a crux of an argument here is that in this MOU, it says MPD will make a good faith effort to hire any employees from the office of sheriff who are laid off as a result of this agreement. There's like 28 in the parks, and I don't know how many here. We're talking about a substantial number of employees. I mean, that's a concern we all have. In your budget, you're talking about overtime, you have furloughs, got issues in your own department. That's the way it is. Okay. So if you have a need, you'd have to, overtime, you said, we'll have to, would I presume you'd add people to your staff? Do you have people, or would you look to Milwaukee County to add, just like it says in the MOU here, that you make a good faith effort? Do you make that decision, or does Chief Flynn have to make that decision?
Well, ultimately, Chief Flynn's going to make the decision, but it's my understanding that he's already agreed to do so. Right now, there are nine vacancies in telecommunicator out of the 52 or so that are authorized in the budget. This proposal would add 10 additional positions in the 2013 budget, so we'd be talking about having a total of 19 vacancies that need to be filled. Currently, there is not an active eligibility list to hire from. So we would be willing to obviously accept applications from anybody from the county that would have ended up losing their job as a result of this agreement.
Chief Flynn is involved in this decision-making.
Mr. Chairman, Supervisor, just to add on to that, with the funding that the Memorandum of Understanding provides to the city, they are able to add staff largely because the fringe load and the cost of the positions at the city is far lower than that of the county. a telecommunicator position for the county costs $62,000, $24,000 of which is fringe benefit costs, active fringe benefit costs. At Milwaukee Police Department, a telecommunicator costs them $47,000, $13,000 of which is fringe, about 50% as much as the county's. This will enable, obviously, with the same amount of funding for the city of Milwaukee to provide more staff to improve service on these calls.
And just to add on to that, you fairly clear that MPD has sufficient overtime. On top of the numbers that Mr. Fudge had provided to you, add that by time and a half on the MPD. That's where they are driving the savings on their side, and that's one of the reasons why this makes sense for the MPD, because they're cutting their overtime, which they presently are putting, reducing their service, have more of a fresh caller on the call, and be able to level out their staffing. So just kind of wanted to add that. This is, again, agreement between the county and the city of Milwaukee. The signers on this agreement are going to be the county executive and the board as passed, as well as the common council. And so it's an agreement between the two enterprises. It's not a Sheriff Flynn call. They're going to bring on those 11, as it says in the MOU.
Okay, and the last one on this area is, and I know people have on other areas, is so obviously we have to pass the missing link here is the common council. So there's so much time spent between the two executives here. I mean, we didn't get much of this until it was made. Okay, and you spent a lot of time on it. Okay, fine. All right, I understand. I talked to the county exec about it too. But is the common council, I mean, you know, if you spend all this time on it, was there an indication that the common council would be, since they have to look at this too, and they could pass this and they could say no. Is there any idea, because the executive spent so much time on this together, that does Mayor Barrett have a good feel that, yeah, this is something where you're going to get more money, so it seems to be a little easier for them, okay, but is this something the common council, I'm sure they're going to have the same concerns, you know, a lot of supervisors have expressed already about, well, response times and everything else and the extra money, so what's the idea there? Do you have any insight you could give us on that, since we haven't had any, you know?
Well, I mean, touch base, reach out to, you know, for particularly urban supervisors, reach out to their aldermen and get their feel for it. But my understanding, based on conversations that I have, is that this is causing much less consternation on their side, and that this is one of the many major decisions they have to make in their budgeting process, and they're kind of taking it in stride. So we don't feel that there's any issue on their side at this point in time based on, again, on conversations. You know, anything can happen, and I think the deliberations here may have an impact as to, you know, what the feeling is on that side. So, again, you know, in terms of any kind of intergovernmental cooperation agreement, we really have to be cognizant of, you know, our partners and how we treat them in this process. So I think that's a good point, Supervisor.
Thank you.
Supervisor Harris.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just wanted to say that I actually am in favor of this particular move, and I think taxpayers would also be in favor of this because it shows that government is working together and that we can actually play together for the first time with shared services. And so I think you have I'm sorry, Captain
Gasek.
I appreciate you being here because you answered some questions that I had around staffing this particular service, and then in understanding that the funding that will come with it will help you staff it better, and you can actually manage the call load that will come into 911. And personally, having had to use 911 on my cell phone, it has been, to me, a hindrance to call for a police officer to address a situation, and my call goes to the Sheriff's Department, and I'm always flustered because I'm like, why am I getting the Sheriff's Department? And so this was made clear to me when this actually came up as a budget item, like, oh, we are responsible for this. So I'm just glad to see that we're making an effort to move this resource to the city of Milwaukee, particularly this one. I'm not speaking on any other one, okay? I'm just speaking on the 911 calls.
Understood.
Thank you.
Okay, very good. Supervisor Broderick.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Captain, is there regarding the variation in volume per carrier, is there a breakdown on carriers and the percentage of calls that each one of them generally takes? And are you confident, I guess, the second part of that is that unless there's an independent way of assessing that, that you're getting accurate figures on what those calls total today?
Our 911 system is not easily able to break out calls by carrier. I know the sheriff's office provided us with a breakdown of calls that they received by carrier. But I am confident based on the staffing figures and what we anticipate we're getting now with the anticipation of the number of calls that the sheriff's office is receiving now from AT&T and U.S. Cellular that their data is more accurate than it was the last time. And if I can explain why there was an issue, in a meeting that we had with sheriff's office staff from the 911 their 911 center, a reason that they gave, which was most likely for the difference in numbers, was, as an example, if there's one traffic accident, but nine people call on that accident, they treated that as an incident, as one call, and it turns out, but there was nine telephone calls that had to be answered. So that's the reason why there was a difference in numbers.
Thank you.
Okay, Supervisor Weishaupt and then Johnson.
I guess I'm sorry. Why are we wrapping together Park Patrol and then the communication piece, memorandum of understanding here? That to me they're two separate items, and it makes it difficult to really sort through some of the numbers here and what the real impact is. And just on that, I think it's clear from our discussions that I think we need a report back from what actually worked from the four carriers that are handled by Milwaukee, and get some kind of assessment of that and how that worked, and then we could have a clear conversation on having these two other carriers and any cost implications that would go with it. I just think that this whole 911 cellular phone thing is a totally separate issue that we've entangled with this Park Patrol piece, which I don't think it's appropriate that we sign a memorandum of understanding that intertwines the two.
Mr. Kamholz, what was the logic behind that?
The logic behind that is this is a product of negotiations. I've been involved in many negotiations on the city side in economic development projects. And I guess in terms of it's just the process of where the savings are and understanding where each party is and what they're willing to give and what they're willing to take. And so we found three areas which would drive significant value to the taxpayer on the county side. They just happen to coincide with three areas where the city could pick up additional services, and it made best economic sense to them as well. So what you're looking at is three elements based on a review of discussions that involve all types of shared services with the city of Milwaukee that we could potentially contemplate. And these are three areas that in the process of negotiation we came down to figures that would not only make sense on our side as Milwaukee County, but also on the city side, because it has to be something that both parties can agree to. So yes, they're very different in terms of the services, but it all at the end of the day is related. I mean, if you take a 911 call, someone's calling a 911 in the park. Do you want that to go to the sheriff's office for the call taker to take the call, to transfer that call over to MPD, and then the MPD to dispatch that call? So you're actually, it is somewhat related in a matter of fact. You've got three elements here. Again, it is an MOU. I think our intention is to treat this as a total package. But again, it's not an agreement. It's not a legal binding. I mean, it's what both parties have agreed to. It's not that this is a complete done deal. In terms of the E911 service, why the four transferred over initially, but then it got stalled, there is no agreement there. There never has been an agreement there. So right now, MPD is taking those calls, and what we wanted to do is establish an agreement for the entire service, not just a part of the service. We want them to take the entire service, but again, at a cost savings to Milwaukee County. So we can't really go back to the day of well, the city of Milwaukee has been doing it for free. We're going to continue to do it for free. You heard Josh Fudge's testimony that, that if we had an agreement like that, we'd probably have to take a hit on a levy adjustment, a negative levy adjustment, depending on how that contract was worded. But also, I don't think the MPD feels that the current situation is tenable, and I don't want to speak for them, but maybe you can follow up on that point.
Well, Mr. Chairman, my point is that I never told the county exec to go negotiate anything with the city of Milwaukee or the Milwaukee Police Department. And if they wanted to waste their time and effort without consulting us first, there was nobody that, you know, at least talked to me about what I thought about this process. And how we're going to move forward without knowing the understanding, I think the process is we get a report that's written, not just some testimony on some numbers here, and it explains what the history and background of the item was, and then we can make a clear decision on how we want to go forward. You're talking about a very important piece here with 911. I'm not going to turn something over to the city of Milwaukee if I don't think it's going to function correctly. Now, they're telling us that they have capacity issues, that they would have to hire new people. There's obviously a transition period that would need to take place. I want all that stuff written out in a report before us, before we agree to anything. And I think that's only, you know, prudent management here, that I'm not going to take a chance that, you know, just because somebody sat at a chair in front of us here and said some stuff. I want to see a report written out. I want a complete analysis from our staff, people that we can trust, and then a clear, you know, financial report back from the controller's office that says, hey, these are the real numbers that you can count on and what are the real savings. None of that has taken place. This is the first, you know, I've been aware of this memorandum of understanding. And in fact, when our staff for the budget asked for a copy of it, you know, they couldn't do their review of what was in the 2013 because they didn't have the MOU of understanding here with MPD. And I don't think that's the appropriate way to do business. So rather than belabor the point, I think that we ought to refer the item to staff.
Okay. And in fairness to our colleagues, I know that Supervisors Johnson and Sanfilippo
sure.
still want to weigh in if we could still do that. So, Supervisor Johnson?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We there was some discussion during the sheriff's budget with respect to these two initiatives. I don't think anything is going to be determined today with respect to this. This is good information. It's a good opportunity to speak to the initiatives. But on the other hand, I personally have read information in the newspaper, or at least on JS Online, to indicate that there are 3 furlough days that officers have to be subject to for 2013. And just to back up the E-911, I don't have too many concerns about at this particular time, but the Parks Patrol, which we have yet to get to, I just wanted to say that given the 3 furlough days that Milwaukee Police Department officers have to be subject to, the priority is for them to do what needs to be done in neighborhoods, in business areas, commercial areas, as far as responding to calls there. And I'm thinking with the 3 furlough days that actually complicates things as it relates to coverage in the parks. Again, for the E-911 initiative, that's another matter. At this particular time, I personally, as a supervisor, don't have too much of a problem with that, because I think the sheriff has indicated that he's somewhat amenable to transferring the calls. But the Parks Patrol is a different matter at this particular time, at least for me.
I don't know if any of the gentlemen want to respond on that. Supervisor Johnson, as co-chair of the Finance and Audit Committee, obviously I'm aware of at least one amendment in regards to the restoration of the Parks Patrol, and I know that I'm not exactly sure what the correct motion in this committee for this item is right now, because obviously your committee needs to deal with that next
part of the budget.
Right, as part of the budget. And I will also say at this time that the officer that was going to speak on the Park Patrol, I'll take responsibility for that person not being able to stick around, I guess. But I guarantee that at the budget hearing, and Supervisor Johnson, it's my understanding that tomorrow you're going to come out with the schedule as far as when amendments are coming up. I will be most curious, and that will be Milwaukee Police Department's opportunity to share that Park Patrol plan that this other officer had. You should also know that the sheriff presented a very detailed neighborhood and parks plan in our previous budget discussion. So this is going to be revisited next week via amendment, and so I'm going to look to Supervisor Sanfilippo.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. First, with regards to the 911 calls, Mr. Fudge, you had mentioned that the county in 2005 became the PSAP for the cellular 911 calls. Is there a financial advantage for the county to do that?
Mr. Chairman, supervisors, not anymore. When we became the primary PSAP, there was an initiative by the state to enact a surcharge on cellular phones and then make a grant with those funds to update equipment because cellular technology was new back then. Those grants have since expired. That funding has been applied, I believe, to the general fund and now partially funds state shared revenue. So there's no longer a funding stream related to that that responsibility.
So if the county were to decide it no longer wanted to be the PSAP, we wouldn't be losing any major funding source?
That'd be correct.
Okay. How is it that the city of Milwaukee became the PSAP for the landline 911 calls, or is running your own center versus...
It's my understanding that every police agency in the county receives landline 911 calls directly.
Okay. So, and here's where I'm coming from, basically. I represent four suburban communities. I just finished two nights in a row of town hall meetings with my constituents, and quite frankly, they're viewing this proposal as using their tax dollars to backfill the budget of the city of Milwaukee. And the opinion is among my constituents that the city should be responsible for their own 911 calls. And I guess, you know, I'm hard-pressed to give them that answer why then all the other suburban communities should, in fact, pay to run the city 911 calls when the suburbs, you know, have to carry that burden themselves or they have an agreement with us. And if the city is threatening us by saying, okay, we're not going to take any 911 calls if we don't get this whole parks deal because we're the PSAP, then my answer to that is fine, then let's not be the PSAP anymore. Let's pass a resolution to say we're not the PSAP. We could still do MOUs with the various municipalities, the suburban municipalities that are interested in us still doing their 911 calls if that's the case. You mentioned Bayside does their own. But and then we wouldn't be spending $463,000 to the Milwaukee Police Department to answer their own phone calls. You can respond to that, and I do have a few more questions on that along those lines. Okay.
Mr. Chairman, Supervisors, the reason we're in this situation is partially because the county decided to be the primary PSAP in 2005. We decided when there was a funding source available to take on the responsibility. I am also a suburban resident, and as I mentioned before, in the short term, without, you know, reliving the fight over who's the PSAP for cellular phone calls, to undo this side of the agreement would cause the county to raise tax levy to put the service back, which then would be servicing that many phone calls in the city of Milwaukee anyway. Either way, the county is raising taxes to fund servicing of E911 calls in the city of Milwaukee. This initiative makes it less tax dollars and improves the service within the city of Milwaukee.
How would the county have to raise taxes to put it back?
Mr. Kamholz, did you want to respond?
Could I please?
Yes.
Thank you. I just wanted to follow up on that. How could they, how, first of all, the $463,000, Mr. Fudge is right. Either you're spending it through the sheriff's office to take those calls and transfer them for a dispatch, or you take that $463,000, gives it to the Milwaukee Police Department, they take the calls, we're out of it altogether. So that's, number one, not only an improvement of service, but you're spending, to your suburban constituents' concerns, you're spending that money anyway. Either you're spending it on the city side or on the county side. In this instance, you put it over the city side, and also you get that less of a, you have to go through two callers and a transfer and another pickup and then a dispatch. So you get an improvement in service, and it's more of a one-for-one. You're spending that dollar anyway. The second piece is that in the 2012 budget, there was a reduction given the transfer of the calls that had already been transferred over for E911. That reduction equates to about $200,000. So that's where the tax levy savings come. If we onboard all of the E911 services that are our responsibility, that are the county's calls, because we are the designated PSAP for E911, then we have to increase the levy not only by the 463 is a net-net, but you have to add that additional $200,000 that we had reduced in 2012 for the calls that had already been transferred and then accounted for on the sheriff's side as savings. I'm sorry, is it?
That's assuming we remain the PSAP. The thing I threw out in the puzzle was, we undo being the PSAP, and wouldn't that force then the city to have to do their own 911 phone calls? If we say we're no longer the PSAP, and in this way, that's a way for us not to have to spend that additional money or take the calls back in ourselves.
So just stop being the PSAP, and then
yes, if there's
letting
no financial benefit. I mean, we did it in 2005 because state funding at that time came along with it, but the state funding is there no more. So what I'm saying is, then why do we continue to be the PSAP if we're not getting the funding for it?
Mr. Chairman, Supervisor, keep in mind also what happened with the city of Milwaukee bringing the phone calls on board. That would happen to every other suburb as well. They would become responsible for the missed calls, the accidental calls, calling back, as Captain Gasek said. They would face an increased workload, too, that is now being provided by the sheriff. And Captain Gasek, I think, can add to that as well.
And I don't know exactly what the process is by identifying oneself as the primary PSAP, but it's my understanding that somebody in the county has to be the primary PSAP, and if the sheriff's office wants to no longer be that primary PSAP, somebody's going to have to step up and take that responsibility over.
Well, my understanding, the history of it, is that the city and the county battled over who was going to get it, and the county ended up getting it, so it turned out not to be a good deal because now we have the program, but we don't have the funding with it anymore. So, and you can always say hindsight's 2020. My question is, this whole agreement here is premised that the chief of police gets to set all the staffing levels and he determines. So there's nothing in this agreement to say that, say the volume of 911 calls goes down or some new automated system is developed so that you don't need such a large staff in that 911 call center. What prevents you from reducing that staff, still taking our $463,000 from the county, but now you're really not covering the increase that we have?
Mr. Chairman and Supervisor, two things. One, we built into the memorandum of understanding that MPD would give us detailed reports on their activity and costs. And also, that's part of the reason it's a three-year agreement with a mutual renewal, which the county board would be able to review and obviously pass. We wrote that into the resolution so that, A, we get the information during the agreement, and if for whatever reason it goes in a way that the county feels is not beneficial, we can return it to the sheriff or seek other service providers.
Okay. And then I, too, like many members on the board, are very curious to see what the actual written proposal is for the servicing of the parks, because that's a very key component to all this. So I think that's important that you disseminate that information to us as soon as you can. And then just one last question. My concern has been that the Milwaukee Police Department is overloaded with their own workload right now, and they can't handle taking on this extra work. I'm curious, though, because we're being told that the crime rates in the city are going down every year, but you mentioned that the 911 call volume is going up so high that that's why you can't take this on unless you get the funding. How do you explain, you know, why are the 911 call volume going up so much if crime's going down?
Because not every call that's coming in on the 911 center is related to an actual criminal act. The PSC has a report out that from 2005 to 2011 it shows the increase each year in the number of wireless device users. And that increase far exceeds the decrease in landline usage. So I don't see anytime soon this trend ending where we're not going to continue to see an increase in wireless calls. Because the FCC still requires that non-service initialized or non-provisioned phones, these are the wireless phones that no longer have an active service contract with a provider, that those phones are still capable of calling 911. It's the one call that they can make. I can't call to that phone, but they can certainly call my center, and they do, because people are giving these old phones to children or whoever, and they just call nonstop. And so those calls are not necessarily going to be driven by call stats. There's no correlation between the two. So until the FCC does something about that, we've enacted an ordinance at the local level, which took effect within the last few days, where we can start holding people accountable for their negligent or accidental misuse of 911 as opposed to the intentional misuse. And I think we're one of the only jurisdictions in the country that has such an ordinance.
So if cell phone usage is increasing, which I agree it is, but also landline usage is decreasing, and so... Well, it is, if you take a look at studies.
But not at the same rate as the wireless usage is increasing.
Well, and it just goes to my point that, you know, I can see where the city will be able to make a case, well, our cellular calls for 911 are very high, but you're going to be able to reduce your other staff in the call center because the landline volume is going down, so you're still going to be taxing or charging the county the $463,000 plus the increase every year, and then you'll be just taking additional savings onto the city's budgets and forcing that expense onto the remaining 18 municipalities within the county.
We don't staff the floor based on you only take wireless calls and you only take landline calls. We staff based on 911 calls, wireless or landline, and non-emergency calls, whether it's wireless or landline.
Understandable, but as the volume goes down from landline producing, do you keep reports between the landline and the cell phone calls then? Because you mentioned there will be reports coming in, so there's a way to monitor. So do you expect that, I can tell my constituents, that if savings are achieved, if you don't need the whole $463,000 to pay for these 911 calls, that the county will get some of that money back or be able to pay a lower rate or those savings will carry on?
At the very minimum right now, it would be if the agreement would reopen in 3 years, we would then renegotiate a new price with MPD should those call volumes go down, because we're going to be getting that reporting on an annual basis. Now, if there's other provisions that you want to include into the MOU, such like a safe harbor provision like that, I mean, we can certainly entertain that. So should call volumes go down on reported MPD related to E911 and there is a true related savings, we could embed that gets thrown back to the county.
Supervisor Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I believe that Chairwoman Dmitrievich has asked our independent controller to look at the figures related to E911 and Park Patrol initiatives. I believe that's forthcoming, and that's directed to not only colleagues, whoever's listening, but also to Supervisor Weishaupt to let him know that something's being done to get some financial figures.
Gentlemen, anything else? As I stated, especially the Park Patrol, and I know that officer, and again, I apologize, is not here.
We are able to take questions on the financial aspects related to those two elements today. We don't necessarily...
If there are questions, I will tell you that the real work, Mr. Kamholz, is going to take place during the amendment time. Because that's where the rubber hits the road. But Supervisor Weishaupt?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm not you know, a fan of a lot of this because I don't think we have the correct information. But I didn't want people to walk away thinking. I have always been very impressed by MPD and the service that they have provided. And in fact, when you look at the city of Milwaukee on emergency services, whether it's the fire department or the police department, they are the mutual aid that everybody goes to whenever the major tragedy, the major incident happens. So regardless of whatever our decisions are on any of this, whether it's today or in the budget, nobody should look at it as we do not have confidence in the emergency services, the police department, the fire department of the city of Milwaukee, that they are provided excellent service. And in fact, I just wanted to make one other point. Since I represent a district that is almost split equally between the city of Milwaukee and the city of West Dallas, I do take a bit of offense when we always think of it, the city as something independent of Milwaukee County. That the city of Milwaukee represents about 55% of the population of the county. They pay literally hundreds of millions of dollars in property taxes, millions of dollars in property taxes to Milwaukee County. And so when we say it's a savings to to county residents, you know, they're part of the county too. And if all you're doing is a resident of the city of Milwaukee taking money out of one pocket and putting it in the other, that doesn't help anyone. And I don't think, we hear all this stuff about cooperation, and I think suburban communities have to understand that they have a responsibility to Milwaukee County just as much as the city does. And I wish we would have took more time to develop these policies and include supervisors like myself, who has one foot in each camp. Supervisor Borkowski, you're in the same situation, I think there's about six other supervisors that represent areas that have parts of the city of Milwaukee and suburban communities. And we could have gave you a lot better feedback on how to deal with this situation, both on the 911 and the Parks Patrol. So I wish that would have taken place.
So, colleagues, any questions or comments? I see that Mr. Fudge has something to say. I guess the last word then goes to you, sir.
Actually, Mr. Chairman, Supervisors, Captain Gasick just wanted to address one other issue.
Just a follow-up to Supervisor Johnson's comment about the three furlough days. Obviously, we're not going to know for certain whether or not there's going to be law enforcement furloughs or how many until the city's budget is finalized. However, if in fact there are three furlough days in 2013, as we've handled law enforcement furloughs in the past, it's thoughtful, it's meaningful. We obviously have minimum staffing levels. Officer or law enforcement staff have the ability to take discretionary off days as long as we don't reduce that staffing below the minimums, and we treat furloughs the same way, where we make sure that we maintain in our patrol operations we're at or above minimum staffing levels. So instead of somebody taking a discretionary paid off day, they're going to be forced into having to take a non-discretionary unpaid off day, but we will be able to maintain our staffing levels.
Thank you, Captain. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Supervisor Harris.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move layover at call of the chair for items 8 and 9.
We will still have a discussion on 9, but thank you for that motion. And do we need to take a vote on that, Corp Council? On layover to the call of the chair? Do we need to take? Okay.
We have an earlier motion.
I had a motion for a staff, but I'll be glad to withdraw that motion so you can.
Okay, so it's withdrawn. We have the motion to lay over call of chair.
Mr. Chairman, I just wanted to point out that if you lay over number 9, you can't discuss it.
Okay, so
you might want to vote separately if you want.
Okay. Let's separate. Okay, so you're saying separate on just 8,
we can
right?
do separate, yes. Thank you.
Okay, very good. Okay, so Madam Clerk, call a roll, please, on the lay over to call of chair.
Supervisors Harris. It's
an 8.
Aye.
Schmidt.
Aye.
Johnson.
Aye.
Weishan.
Aye.
Broderick?
Aye.
Sanfilippo?
Aye.
Mr. Chair?
Aye.
7 ayes, 0 noes. The motion.
Gentlemen, we'll see you next week.
Thank you for your time.
And Police Patrol. December? I know.
Item number 9, please.